moment. He's Ronaldo! Brilliant! And that's Arshavin. There'll be 2 minutes of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shot and follow-up. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero!
That's called a Giroud header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma. Strepitoso in questa lì.
Fabregas. It's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks for Xavi. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice, and not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And all Gabri! Per il vince della prima metà!
I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again! So watch it! Drink it in!
Jack Wilshere, Dzola, Giroud, Giroud again, Jack Wilshere! It's stunning from Arsenal!
Bradley swings it in invitingly. Oh my word! It's gone straight in. It's Bradley.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. We're going to have a guest on tonight. So for those of you that have been listening to the show, you'll know one of our guests. His name is Edson. He's been on with us before. He's a fellow Gooner. And Joe will also join us in the segment. As we told you last week, we're going to be doing a show strictly on transfer and transfer rumors that are hot and prevalent right now in the EPL, La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, MLS even. We're going to touch a little bit about that. But before all that, I just wanted to let you guys know, and the people that have been listening to this podcast for a while, and even Joe, I told Joe, and I've told you all, that I will never, ever, ever, ever go to a TFC game again, Toronto FC, for those of you that don't know. But that's going to change. That's going to change. They played last night. By the time I get this edited and posted, it'll be a couple of days. So they played Wednesday night, and these guys actually look like a soccer team now. To the point where if I did go and spend money on food and beer and whatnot, that it would probably be value for my money. They have the best player in the league on their team right now in Sebastian Giovinco. And I mean, it just looks, the brand of soccer that they're playing with Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore connecting with Giovinco, it just looks like the brand of soccer that I would love to see Toronto FC play. So that being said, I will be going to a Toronto FC game. I will be paying for tickets, and I'll probably enjoy myself if they play like they did. And they've won 4 of the last 5, and they've looked good doing it. So I think the tides are turning here in Toronto with our soccer team, so I'll definitely support. And I'm not a bandwagon jumper. Let's get on to that, because I was a season's ticket holder for I don't even know how many years, but just the failing and the misery around the team caused me not to renew. But I will give them a shot. For those of you that are shocked, I will give them a shot in the upcoming weeks. All that being said, visit the website, the new revamped website at footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Reginaldinho_5, and Joe is at Joe Cola _4. You can subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and there's a number of different ways you can get to us with podcatchers as well. You can subscribe with your email address. You can enter in your email address on our website and on the subscribe page. And every time a new episode is uploaded, you'll get a message in your inbox letting you know that there's a new episode to be listened to. We also have a Football Weekly team store now. It's Amazon based, so you can go in there, buy shin pads, socks, jerseys, shoes if you want, whatever, all fulfilled by Amazon. So Amazon.ca. So go in there and have a look at that. We also have a forum, Football Weekly forum. You can join, You can register for a username, and you can go in there and you can talk about whatever you want. You can talk about Copa America, you can talk about EPL transfers, you can talk about whatever you want. So you can talk about your favorite soccer shoe. Doesn't matter to us. It's not moderated. We just ask that you respect other people's responses and just respect the other members of the group. So with all that being said, let's get right into this. I mean, it's a show strictly on transfers. No top five, no news, nothing. Just transfers. And I don't even think we're going to get to everything that we want to. So without any further ado, let's get into this. So as promised last week, in last week's episode, this episode is going to be all about transfer talk. And the silly season has begun. Joe, I think we named this show, what was it, Transfer Extravaganza?
What did we say? Something stupid, something that wasn't working.
For sure. The cheese was rolling through thick last week.
I'm a marketing mind, so, you know.
That's why we bring you. We need you more often because God knows our shit sinks a lot.
For those of you that are savvy listeners, you know that that's the voice of Edson. He's been on the show different times with Joseph and I, talking different things. He's a fellow gooner.
That's right.
So we have a lot to talk about in transfer just between Arsenal.
So obviously we're going to start with Peter Cech, is that right?
Let's do it.
You should be happy about that.
Let's do it. Peter Cech.
Not that I care what John Terry says, but what did John Terry say? He's worth at least 15 points. Oh,
yeah, 12 to 15 points for sure.
What he said.
John Terry is being complimentary of his former teammate or his teammate and a guy that he feels. You know, it's funny because to me, this transfer story almost started back when, you know, Chelsea were carrying Didier Drogba off the field, final game. Peter Cech was just walking beside them, even though everyone knew that Cech wasn't staying.
Right.
Yeah. To me, I felt like that just shows the lack of, just the ignorance of Chelsea fans, you know, overall. Like, okay, yes, I understand, you know, Drogba was kind of that team swag, right? And really, you know, obviously helped to put Chelsea on the map and did some great things there. But statistically, was he ever really that great?
No.
You know? And he left. He chased some money.
That's
he
it.
Money out the door.
That's what he did.
He could have stayed in Popper's place,
yeah,
right? Like Cech did this season, even though he knew that he wasn't going to be the number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Stuck around. That's what I was thinking. I said, okay. Here's a guy, he's stuck around.
Right.
They bring the young, new, up-and-coming, you know, it guy.
Right, the newer model.
Yeah, and he's stuck around. And I was thinking that, too, and they're carrying out the feeling. Well, I've been here the whole time.
Right. He was just kind of tucked to the side. And I thought to myself, well, this would be Chelsea fans now, wouldn't it? You know, this guy was there for all of their successes, okay? Through all of the coaches. He was the constant,
right.
Okay? How, like, he kept them out, like, in that top four, he kept them in the top two, he kept them, you know, like, I'm just so happy that, now, because, I mean, everyone knows, a goalie's prime is now into his early
30s,
mid-30s.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
So now we have one of the greatest goalies ever, the best to suit up, the very least in Seaman, maybe ever, for Arsenal, but one of the top, at the very least, elite three goalies in the world. That's what I feel like.
Right.
At this stage in the game. Right?
Yeah, people forgot about this guy, you know. I think because of Courtois and let's say, you know, Neuer. But, yeah, this is a guy who's like, hey, remember me?
That's it.
You know, he's
that's
not
right.
done. And I think he's got a lot left.
Kind of left.
Chelsea. I mean, like, to me, it is. Like,
and I think more than anything, it's such a huge improvement at that position for us.
100%.
Right? It's massive. It's such a game changer. It's not even a question mark anymore for us, you know?
Well, you're putting a big-time personality.
That's right. He's a staple.
Yeah, well, he commands the box too, right? So, you know,
he's a
good shot stopper. He commands the box. He'll organize the defense the way it's supposed to be.
Right. Well, he commands presence, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I had problems with both of our goalies, frankly. Okay, like Ospina, not quite long enough for me.
No, too short to play. Too short to play.
And when he would go out to challenge, I mean, maybe in other leagues that might work.
Yeah.
But when he would go out to challenge crosses, he would come up short, like, it seemed like 50% of the time.
Well, to me, I always look at, okay, let's look at your opponent. Like, the immediate competition, you know, they're not challenging with Hull, right? They're challenging with the big boys. Get the big teams and their keepers, they were lacking.
Right.
Yep, that's definitely a position they needed to strengthen for sure last year.
Yeah, I mean, look at all of them, from Man United to Chelsea to Man City, all their goalies, and you compare, like, even Tottenham, for God's sake, North
top
London
notch.
Derby.
Right. Oh, Lloris saved their tail this season.
Oh, for sure.
And the way, listen, in the Premiership, regardless, your goalie is probably, it's more wide open, no doubt, and who plays more wide open and more attractive football than Arsenal. Nobody. So you need somebody like that.
Yeah.
And by the way, you still have Murder Sacker, so you absolutely need someone who's going
to
help you.
we need help down the spine of that team. Right down, right from the top to the bottom of the spine of that team, we need help.
You know, so he absolutely, it might be the pick. It's not the sexiest one because we all talk
about the
goal scorers. But
that's,
you know,
right.
Peter Cech, and listen, you know, that sleeping dog, I don't know, man. He's got. Listen, he's got. He doesn't have.
Now he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Perfect.
Now he's got a chip on his shoulder.
It's perfect.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. This one might be the, wow, are you kidding me kind of thing. And again, he signs early. He could have dragged this out. He signs early.
Signs early, and for a maximum, they say, of £13 million pounds. I know that, you know, whatever. It's a goalie fee, but this is a Champions League winning goalie. This is a Premiership winning, multiple time Premiership winning goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
world class. The top three reason why he might drop out of a top three is because he wasn't playing regularly, and we might have forgotten about him. But he is fantastic.
He's in his prime.
Yeah,
he's in his prime. And to be frank with you, you know, I watched a lot of Kurzweil last season. And was I overly impressed to the point where I thought he was, you know, doing a better job than what Cech could do? No, not at all. He had shaky games. He had shaky moments.
Absolutely. I think when Reggie and I started,
Charlie Adam, right?
Yeah, he did. Oh, exactly. Reggie and I were saying a lot about this in general. But to me, Kurzweil falls into the whole thing that we talk about, Belgium.
Yeah.
What have you done for me? And everyone's ready to crown them.
Exactly.
Right.
Second in the world, eh? Belgium?
I mean,
how?
The Wales. I mean, like, to me, if he's the same kind of deal. I'm not knocking him, but I am questioning how can we, to go and use Dennis Green, crown him. But, like, we're crowning these guys, and just like Courtois, like, hold on a second. Like, why?
Right.
I don't get it. Like, for me, they did a disservice to Cech and said, you're bringing this guy in.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even give him a chance to compete, really.
Nope.
You got to wonder, did they promise him something almost like, and it didn't fall through, almost like, you know.
Well, I guarantee you Mourinho promised him something. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I almost look at, like, Barcelona had Ter Stegen and Bravo, right? One played one competition than the other. I thought, this is Peter Cech, and he's not getting a game?
He's not getting a game. Exactly.
How good, quote unquote, he is as a keeper. What about what he's going to mean in the room at Arsenal?
Oh! It's just going to be, and not just in the room. Just when was the last time we had that calm at the, you know, at the very base of the spine, at the back? That calm.
I think we might have to go to those like the flowing locks of David
Seymour. Oh yeah! Right. Wow!
Right. You know, now we've got leadership. At the back.
From the back, from
you know
the back
I mean?
Out. That's it.
Leadership on top of leadership now. You know, like, this is just, it's perfect. It's perfect. I don't see how
but
this
you guys are
work.
Happy. That's good.
Oh.
That is a great pickup. It's one of the, that's the pickup of the transfer market so far, I think.
Yep.
Well, I think that's it.
I will say this, and maybe we can move on to this, but so far in terms of early work in the market.
I know what you're going to say.
You have to give a, you know, a bit of a slow clap to Liverpool.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. I hate to do it, but yeah.
Well,
bit of a slow clap to Liverpool.
Hate to
just
do it, but yeah.
I mean, looks like they've got Klein sewn up, apparently.
Yeah, right? I heard.
So
I
saw, Klein deal's going to happen.
I saw it today. I saw it today for $12.5 million.
Right. Then they basically stole one from City, right, with Milner, which is, with Gerrard leaving, you know, definitely a solid pickup, a needed pickup for them.
Right.
But
as you alluded to a second ago, as we did a little force, Firmino.
Yeah.
Wow, this dude.
Fantastic.
I really feel like he's going to be this year, this season, Sanchez. Maybe not before, like, the winter break. Who knows? But once he gets a chance to settle in a little bit, he is going to be not just firing goals, okay? But this man is an all-around footballer.
Right.
He's got strength, and he can pass the ball as well. You know, he can really distribute. And on that team, it's gonna make them very dangerous because Coutinho can put the ball in the hole.
Well, that's what
and
it is.
So can Lallana, and so can
Henderson.
Sturridge.
Well, that's Sturridge, right? Sturridge and Firmino up top would be that'll be problems for most defenses.
For me, I think that Sturridge might be the pickup for them.
Right.
He was essentially non-existent.
Right.
He was injured.
Yeah.
And then if they could. You know, all accounts saying that they are going to sell Raheem Sterling, right?
But even if they keep him, that's going to be problems if they keep him. That's going to be bigger problems for teams if they keep him.
He'll be sold. I'm just that's personal. I think because again,
I don't think they're going to turn down the $50 million if that's what City is talking about.
You can't. Absolutely, you can't.
If City goes that high, you can't. You can't.
You know, Sturridge coming back is like a. Let's talk about this. A guy who's been injured. Coming back is like a new transfer you're bringing in.
We've heard that a lot, Edson?
Yeah, exactly. Over the years, how many times? But I agree with you. I personally feel like when Sturridge is in there, he's kind of a game changer for them. You know, he gives them a different look at the front of the attack there, and I think this is just huge. He gives them another one in Firmino. He's massive, and to me. When you see a guy play in the Seleção, the Brazilian national team, when you see a guy like shine over everybody else in that team, a guy that really stands out, you're like, ooh, he had a really good game. When you see that two or three times, you know that it's something special. You know that it's someone special.
Yeah, he looks a player who's in the typical Brazilian mode of this. The spotlight isn't too big for him. Like he'll be okay
right.
with it.
Exactly. And he's coming from a league that, you know, is to me the second best league on the planet right now, and he was tearing it up. You know, so
out in Bundesliga.
Yeah. In terms of like top to bottom, right?
Yeah,
in terms of top to bottom,
you don't have to worry about him. You know, is he going to adjust to the European game? He's already been there, right? So
exactly.
But Sterling, you gotta sell him. You can't say no to that money. But the thing is where do you sell him to? And that's why I think now it's kind of gone. With the Premiership, is they can just get it. They don't care who they get the money from. They just want the money.
So you think they're going to sell him within the Premier League?
Well, I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. That's what I think. I mean,
here's the problem. Okay? I don't think anyone else who understands what his price might be like will want him. Even Real Madrid, with a former Liverpool manager in Rafa Benitez, you already heard the rumors dying down a little bit. About him approaching them. You know, it started out, those are the rumors that we were in, that all these other teams were in. But as soon as the price was established and the first $30 million bid got rejected, I think the suitors just fell off. You know, it's too much of a gamble to take.
If it was last year at this time, I think we're talking differently. But after the season he had this year,
right. You know, and he hasn't shown out for his country since either, right? He hasn't yet an opportunity if he has not shown out for his country since.
And that's why I say, you know, if it was last year at this time, because last year at this time he had a fantastic game against Sturridge against Italy, and you're thinking, wow, this guy, these two are lights out. But that's what I mean, hand in hand. Do we get totally thrown a curveball and they do keep him?
I think they'll keep him. Personally, because that attack would be disgusting.
They're going to keep him, but I think that if someone throws that $50 million out there, they probably now even themselves.
I can't.
Think it's a matter of him not being able to go back. Like, how many times has Wayne Rooney threatened to leave United and basically crapped all over the supporters, and they took him back every time? Like, that's not the issue. Okay, they'll take him back and they'll cheer him again, and it'll all be a Sterling love fest.
I think especially in England, the sight of the fact that it's almost like the NFL syndrome here. These agents create a lot of these rumors as well.
Well, of course.
And they're trying to put a price tag on their player because sometimes it's just putting the ducks in order to say, okay, it might not be this year's market, But, you know, hey, last year we were talking about this money for this guy. You know?
Well, that's what Sergio Ramos's agent's doing right now, right?
Oh, and exactly. You know what? If I was Sergio Ramos's agent, I think I would hire Edson, too, for marketing because he's got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up. I guess we'll bring this to another rumor. And, again, I keep joking me, like Real Madrid. Like, listen, first of all, like, loyalty. There is none with that club. You know, there's a rumor. There was something said. It was published that, you know, even if Ancelotti won the Champions League, they were going to get fired.
Right.
So, I mean, they're just beyond stupid with their money. But now they're offering a penalty.
Wait, Joe. So even if they won Champions League, they were going to fire Ancelotti and bring in Benitez?
Again, this is the craziest rumor again. Like, you know, talk about...
Oh my God.
Juventus circles. This is where it's going. Right. I'll get to the transfer rumor that's coming from them, and they're linking with Real Madrid. But, you know, apparently, you know, stand up guy as can be, and I say that all sarcasm, is Luciano Moggi, who was the, like, Juventus president who was part of the Calciopoli thing that drove Italian soccer into the oblivion that it's ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he was, you know, part of that scandal. She's kind of letting loose. Right? Because he's like, what do I got to lose? They already cast me away. So he's letting all these things go. And he's saying that Florentino Perez, on good word, said to him that even if Ancelotti won the champion, even if they won the title, champion, whatever, he was gone after this year.
Really?
So, yeah. It's just they're just, the, you know, and again, the Galacticos of the old, and they really are just, they're openly about, they're about creating, not creating, sorry, maintaining and building their brand. The rumor that it's connected to, we're bringing it back to our transfers, is they want, I rate him, but do I rate him for this much? Hell no. They want to bring in Bonucci. And I'm like, wow, is this where we are in the state of center backs?
Real Madrid wants to bring in Bonucci? For how much?
They want to bring him in for, I forget how much money, but I'm thinking, are you serious?
Well, but the one that I heard today was Koscielny for $21 million to partner and to mentor Varane. That was the one that I heard today.
If that happens, you're going to see London on fire, the red side of London on fire.
That's what it tells me. I think we spoke about this a bit last week, Reggie, and you know, Edson will say it too. I think the center back is not, it's not what it used to be. It's the position. It's almost become the running back in the NFL. You could do with, you know, running back by committee. You could do with certain, you know, types in center back. And you don't, we don't have a dominant type center back in the world anymore. Like Thiago Silva, who for long, you know, let's say one of those types. Do you really need that? I mean, look at Barcelona winning everything with Mascherano.
Right.
At center
very,
back.
Very, very true.
You know,
very
so
true.
What are we true. Looking at here? So I'm like, guess what? This funny money that's being thrown out to these guys. I mean. Like, if you were playing center back at Real Madrid, you were like somebody, like, you're like, you know, as highly touted as one of their number 10s. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
really.
You have to respect all Leonardo Bonucci and Koscielny. Are you joking me? These guys are going to be, like, strange to me.
Well, I can see why they would want to bring someone in like Koscielny, but I can't see Arsenal selling this guy to Real Madrid for...
Nope.
For what they're saying, $21 million or whatever, it's not even worth me picking up the phone to answer that phone call.
Well, first of all, that's what they were talking about being Mats Hummels' money, €30 million.
Right.
That was the initial. That's what United thought they could get away with. But
you don't need to spend this money.
In this day and age, you shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't need to. But you know what? When big teams like Real Madrid are going to plug their holes, what are they going to do? They're going to go get names. Like,
right.
I like the fact that Barcelona went after, like you said, well, you'd say Mascherano, but also Jeremy Mathieu.
Right.
He was pretty unheralded, and that was a huge pickup for them as well. They went after Vermaelen, but we all know how that turned out, the same way that the past few years of his career turned out.
I love doing business with Barcelona. Love it.
Well, yeah, this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Sanchez, we got Sanchez, we got rid of Hlab, we got rid of Vermaelen. It's beautiful.
Bellerin.
Bellerin, too, yeah.
Bellerin.
Yeah, thanks. I love doing business with Barcelona.
Absolutely. Oh, the song business was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There's another one.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just, again, like, this is...
Well, speaking of Barcelona business, by the way, another English team who made an astute pickup, I got to give it up to Everton. He was there on loan a couple of years ago.
Delafeu.
He was there a couple of years ago on loan, and he was, until he got injured, was hugely, hugely influential for them.
He for sure was.
This never got a real chance at Barca.
No, and this is what we talked about. Like, in there, in, you know, 3 years ago, you know, they really came to the forefront about how much they developed their academy players and so on. I mean, they listen. They're no poor sister, right? They do spend money too. But this is what, you know, and I know we always talk about it, and I'm always pumping them up. But this is the type of thing we're saying. These are players that can't even come close to cracking their lineup, and are making big money on their sales and transfer these players who are, like, you know, the quote unquote, you know, they call it the Barcelona B. And they're blending with, you know, pretty decent sized fish in European football.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's got to be credit to them.
It's, which we even crossed town to Real Morata at Juventus, right?
Right.
Yeah. Couldn't get a game. Came out there for
right.
Even Yese over there can't get a game. You know, and he came out of their system, and I think that's another one who's gonna leave and he's gonna shine.
Right.
Yeah, that's yeah, absolutely, yeah, good point. But I shake my head at these, like, maybe that's where teams need to go and say, like, even Mark Bartra, that you get, like, these guys. I mean, maybe that's where you got to go. I don't know. Because this throwing this money out to these guys that we think are going to be, you know, all world and stuff, and I don't know. I got issue with it. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy. The amount of money that we're talking about for some of these guys is crazy. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
You know, and even when we're like, even when we're talking about
what happened now is that young kids, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds, are commanding, you know, fees up in the area of like 10 million euros almost. Arsenal's going to bid on a kid who's 8.5.
Right.
You know, like, this is what it's coming to now. It's like, well, if there are a little bit
potential.
But that's what we said.
What they think we might be instead of, you know, earning that money. And now it's like, well, we got to make sure we get it. See, but this is typical of usually
the
top
thing
league
is,
in the world, isn't it?
Right. I mean, but at the same time, if think about before Fergie, you know, before Fergie left United and before Pogba left. If you know, the season before Pogba broke out, he was sold for a high fee. All of a sudden, like, who, what, where, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, he was right at the cusp of crossing over into being what he is right now.
Right.
And if you pay 8.5 instead of having to pay 85 two or three years later, you know.
I think that goes back to what we were talking about with the agents. And the agents are the ones that are coming out saying, well, I got a guy here who's going to be the next Rooney.
Oh, yeah, and they don't want, and they're probably, exactly, I think I agree with both you guys, and they're both, and they're saying stuff like, well, hey, look at this situation. And it's that threat. And I think it happened, I believe it happened, whatever the top league at the time, it's signing a player to keep him away from someone else.
Yeah.
And I think whenever that comes into play, the prices and transfer fees get blown way out of proportion.
Well, Chelsea is the master of that back in the day when they were just buying players and sticking them on the bench.
And I think you really see that in the Premier League. I always speak about the heyday of the Italian league. Why? Not because I'm an Italian soccer fan, no, because it was the top league in the world at one point. No,
it was
longer, right, with money. It was, you know, and that's what teams used to do. The part of their transfer strategies was exactly what we're seeing now, in England especially, is that, you know, hey, you were signing guys to keep you away from other teams,
right?
Especially when you have a league where, you know, 5, 6, 7 teams are. Well, first of all the teams are very financially stable, but 5 or 6, 7 teams think that they can win everything. Right. And I think that's what ends up happening is, you know, like, well, that's when you get Peter Cech staying an extra year, maybe. You know, again, maybe Mourinho being Mourinho saying, hey, we got to keep this guy here. We don't want to have him go somewhere else. And, you know, I mean, the inevitable happens, but that's why I think these fees are just going kind of like in, you know, silly money, you know, thing, especially in England. I'm going to go back to 50 million for Raheem Sterling.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
No way.
That's insane to me.
It's crazy.
Unless he comes with a twin brother, I don't think I'd pay $50 million for him.
What's that?
Unless he comes with, like, a twin brother where there's two of them. $50 million.
Yeah, I don't.
Like,
it's crazy money.
Player in his favor. Come on, $50 million.
Yeah.
For the season that he had last year as well, and coming from coming from international duty and not reporting because he's tired and all this shit at 18 years old, I don't know. I don't know if $50 million if he warrants $50 million. I don't think that's the type of attitude I need on my team. But
I agree. Like again, you know, learning to be a pro. I think you know maybe I think there's some things he would have obviously, hopefully, at least
at $50 million, you should be a pro by now. No, if we're for paying you that much.
Well, I think
you know what, man. If I played for Liverpool, I might be a little bit frustrated too, though. I really might. I might be frustrated.
Because
remember, they tried to his agent tried to renegotiate before last season, right?
Yeah.
They tried, and he was talking about you know the kind of money that they're probably offering him to stay right now, and now that money doesn't look so good anymore.
But with the moves that Liverpool has made, though, at keeping him. Keeping him there at Liverpool will make this team even more dangerous. And like you said earlier today in the group, they're going to make it into top four if they can keep Sterling. Not at the expense of Arsenal, like you said, but maybe a City drops out. Maybe they battle with a Man United. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think keep.
Yeah,
I think
they get in because they only have the league to concentrate
that's
on.
That's it.
FA Cup and everything that you know that's domestic.
That's it. That's a pretty formidable front three, front four with Coutinho if you want to put him in there. That's probably as good as it gets for Liverpool anyway.
Coming off the bench, plus you know, they've got pieces.
And to add to their defense, adding Klein, a bombing down the wing type of wing back.
Placing Glenn, swapping out Glenn Johnson for that? Is that what we're talking about?
I mean, seriously. I think they've done good work in the transfer. I hate to say it, like I've said, I hate to say it, but I think they've done very well in the transfer market, and they're finally getting rid of some of that Suarez money that we thought they were sitting on last year. So.
Well, they're spending wisely, I think. I mean, that's the thing, right? But again, it takes... Listen, I can't say it again. I think what's really going to make Liverpool dangerous is the player they had who just didn't make a lot of appearances. It's
Sturridge.
Yeah. We look at his scoring record. It's been fantastic.
Yep.
And they missed that.
I thought he was going to be a bust this year when Suarez left, because everybody was focused on Suarez leaving this guy, you know, one-on-one or not even being covered. But he proved me wrong as well. He was dangerous every time he got the ball, even when he was the main man.
Yeah,
so
I think he's got the ability, which obviously you have to have at that level, but he has the personality and the character to be, he's okay. Like he doesn't sweat those things. I think they missed him. I think, you know, I think they still believe in his manager. I think the people forget that, is that those players really like playing Ben Rogers. So.
Except for Sterling.
Again, and we go back to Sterling, and that's the thing. Like, you know, he made those comments when he was on international duty. You think sometimes that success comes so quickly, right? That you wonder, like, what are these guys? Yeah.
And the agent.
For sure. And again, exactly. Saying, hey, you know, he's probably thinking, you know, and the agent, wow, we had such success. No one thought that he had that much success. They figure we got to cash in now.
Yeah, exactly.
How about the guy who loves to move, and that's Mario Mandzukic?
On to Juve, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
well, we all know why they're looking to move a striker, though, right?
Well, first Kevin's of all, going home.
Yeah, but he's also been with two managers in a row now that I would imagine could probably be pretty hard to get along with, and Pep, who's had history with a few players. And Simeone, who's, you know, obviously outwardly passionate, that's probably going to spill over sometimes, a time or two. And
I think his, you know, like, that can only last so long with players.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the type that, yeah, exactly. I think he's going to do very well because, obviously, there's no competition still in the league. Like, Juventus hard-pressed for me not to win again, and you know, they gave him a lot of money. You know?
He seems suited to Italy for me, for some reason.
Sorry?
He seems suited to Italy.
Yeah, he does. Well. Absolutely.
For sure.
100%. For sure, yeah. He absolutely is. You know, and they don't really... There's nothing like him that's going to be like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to do very well. But, again,
you know, the big one coming and talking about Atletico Madrid is they're looking to sell, if the price is right, Griezmann.
I don't know if they're looking to sell so
if
much
they get
as
the right price, I think he's going to go.
He's got a release clause, if I'm not mistaken. If it's met, they don't have much choice. But I don't think he's going.
Especially because they sell Mandzukic. But again, you talk about this manager being, you know, Simeone, who's bigger than the, you know, like that's the kind of thing that's saying if we could sell him. Like, this is traditionally, I mean, we can go down the line of, you know, their history of selling and producing these top strikers. But, you know, it seems to work for them. So, you know, I don't know. It's not far out of the realm. Who knows?
Well, yeah, and I mean, well, they got another one in to cover Mandzukic, Jackson Martinez.
Yeah, the story goes that Arsenal and AC Milan were fighting for him. And I thought, okay, there's no way he's going to pick AC Milan. He's going to go to Arsenal because he'll have more money. It's Arsenal.
Is AC Milan even in the Champions League this year? No.
Well, that's why they're losing out on this guy. So apparently the deal was done, and a lot of their major targets are saying exactly that. And this is where we talk about when we go back to what we spoke about 2 months ago. And is it just enough just to qualify for Champions? Hell yeah. Because your transfer targets, they ain't going to come. And so you have AC Milan that has finally got a bit more money, and they want to, you know, they brought in a new coach in Mihailovic, and they're trying to use a Jackson Martinez was done. He was a done deal. But no Champions League football.
That was the deciding factor, huh? Well, he ended up with Atletico, and he's going to score a lot of goals for them. Just like he has.
Scores
like
everywhere.
Every Porto transfer that's gone there has, too. You know what I mean? They've got a history there.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be any different. This is a guy in his prime who's going to be playing. You know, it's going to be an easier transition for him, I imagine, too. Being from Colombia, speaking the language.
Yeah, sure. He's not moving that far. It's like he's playing in Portugal. Not that much big of a difference, you know what I mean? So,
right. And he's already, you know, got a bunch of Champions League goals and has experience there as well. So he's going to be huge. Going to be huge for them. And bringing a whole other dimension to their attack that they didn't really have before as well.
Yeah, well, now they got their target. They got their target guy and they're pure goal scorers. So
yeah, they
right.
That's a good.
He's got that guy who can power past you as well.
That's
you
it.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, they, for them, that was good business for them. They sold Mandzukic, picked him up, and again, they didn't think they would have him. That's the thing. It was really widely.
Yeah. No, he had to slip through a few fingers before he got to them. But
they got
on them for picking them up. Absolutely. Apparently, what's more surprising to me is that they're now talking about Arda Turan going somewhere. And he seems like one of those heart and soul guys on that squad for me. So
he looks like the same type of player that Diego Simeone was. Heart on the sleeve and all over the place, flying into tackles and everything like that. So,
right.
He seemed well-suited for that style of play that Simeone had. Athletical playing, that type of everybody thinks we're underdogs, we're going to be the scrappiest team in this league, and we're going to beat teams. He looks well suited for that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'd be surprised to see him go.
I would be too. Him and Griezmann, I'd be surprised if they leave. But money talks, right? So
money talks. Well, yeah, the money that Chelsea would be talking for Griezmann would be just mind numbing. I think it would be they're saying something like $42 million plus a player.
Wow. Wow. We're looking at Griezmann for 42 and we're looking at Sterling for 50. Is that is this what we're
100%.
Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. No. How backwards is that?
Oh my god.
This is dumb.
But anyways.
Silly anyway. Money. It's like these you know what?
We know that obviously though within England there is a premium placed upon English players.
Right. Right.
So
right.
You know,
for the homegrown talent, right?
Right.
So
listen, here's what I think. Here's what used to happen, and I'm sorry, but even when these teams are in their heyday, you know what? I think the English teams, the big teams, all they're looking for is the players that everyone knows about, right? And to me, how about this? You know, it's got to start going back to their transfer targets have to go further. They got to go into Argentina in those leagues and pick up the guys who are, you know, hey, they might be something. To me, this...
Well, that's what I love about Southampton's policies, right?
Absolutely.
Southampton digs in the littlest corner or littlest crevice and will pull out a gem, you know? Like,
yeah, Arsenal does the same.
I've never heard of Morgan Schneiderlin before he was tearing it up there.
Right.
Okay, I had no idea who that is.
Listen,
right.
I'm going to go further. listen, you don't want to go into South America. Why don't you just go in? I mean, the Dutch first division for years has been Luis Suarez.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
right. Goes on and on. Like,
yeah, it's funny because Southampton had a kid, Elias, this year, who was playing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Toby Alderweireld was starring it up there and got his value back up.
But now that Koeman's the coach there, I'm sure they're going to start dipping into the Dutch first league. So,
right. Because, you know, in these players, they get
having a Dutch manager, like, you know, obviously that's a huge thing.
For sure.
I mean, it goes back to the Ronaldo, right? It's a PSV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these Dutch leagues, and now, you know, it's starting to become other leagues, but, you know, they take these players, they get them acclimatized, and they sell them. I mean, to me, sometimes, you know, in England, it just boggles my mind. Like you said, too, Edson, there's this premium on, like, English players because they are, right? English, and they have to sell, and they demand or command more money, and I think it's because of the fear of, again, we don't get them, someone else is going to get them. When it's really about, you know, building your squad, and, you know, do you need all of these certain type players just to keep them away? And that's where we get these silly transfer, you know, fees and these transfer busts and stuff like that, because it's just exactly that. It's silly. Like, they got to have more foresight, more insight to go and find that gem. Work harder to find these young players.
Well, I love the homegrown rules. That at least keeps some of these teams slightly honest, even though, you know, Man City's probably about to have, like, three English goalies to make up their numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the very least, you know, you have to pay for it in some way.
Right.
And hopefully they'll tweak the rules going forward, maybe, you know, increase the intensity a little bit, just, you know, just to keep everyone honest.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
So, do we see a blockbuster coming? Like, what is there?
Oh yeah, there's always a blockbuster coming. There's always a blockbuster coming.
I thought Czech was the blockbuster.
No. I think Czech is the most astute pickup.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I think he might be the biggest game changer. You know, it's not always the most expensive player, or even the player that you know, scores the most goals, that happens to end up being the best addition of a transfer window. So
right, but when you're talking about
to me, like the biggest get in the last three transfer windows or four transfer windows would be Matic to Chelsea. I think he changed everything for them. You know, I really feel like,
yeah, and it's not the sexiest pickup, but look how much it changed them.
Well, look at Radetic too.
All of a sudden, John Terry is the best defenseman in the world again,
and Gary Cahill, and Gary Cahill's top 11 in the league, right? Come on,
well, back
right.
to my original. you don't need great center backs anymore.
That's right.
But that's the point. You're right. Absolutely right. It's back to that point. You don't.
Right.
So, again, Jose Fonte. You're telling me that Jose Fonte is a better player than Laurent Koscielny? I watch football, okay? I've got two eyes. I know better than that.
Right.
You know, most people, a lot of people have them in their Premier League best 11 of the season.
Right.
Well, maybe you should have had Wanyama and Schneiderlin in there, okay, making these guys all look good.
And Wanyama. Don't forget him.
That's right.
Well, what about this? Could it be the guy who has probably the most jerseys in his closet? Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh, yeah.
Not ruling out that he's moving again.
Oh, but well, he wins a championship everywhere he goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only place so, that he has left to conquer would
what
be,
does he else have to do?
Would be England.
Yeah.
I mean, besides, obviously, North America. And it would be disappointing that if he didn't come to England. It would be sort of anticlimactic. And it would almost feel like he's punking out and feeling like, hey, I can't go there and make a difference. So
right.
I hope to see him come August in whoever's jersey. It could be ours. It could be Arsenal. It could be Liverpool. Whatever jersey it is, you know, young Zlatan, so I won't fear him quite as much.
I want his personality week in, week out.
Yeah.
You think so? I don't think that Mourinho will take him back at this point. I don't know if he'll want to be under Mourinho at this point.
This is why I think it's crazy and so out there. I know that they've had a history of, like, ain't going to work, but maybe that's why it would work. Because Mourinho's like, everybody expects me not to work with this guy. Ibrahimovic says the same thing. And listen, he was about results. I don't know. Maybe that's a crazy thing that I know it's crazy. They probably would kill each other. Maybe that's part of the allure. I don't know.
Yeah. anything is possible in this crazy football world. I think that
I will say this, though. if, again, to take it back, if AC Milan does get the money that they're supposed to be getting from their, you know, foreign investor and so on, and Zlatan, as much as anybody, is about the cash. And if he gets it thrown that way, we do all know this, that footballers, it's well chronicled, if their wives like a certain place, they're going back.
Yep.
Right?
And but again, it's the allure of the Champions League as well. There's none there. So is that something that he wants to do?
Great point, Reggie. And that's why why talks fell through, because they were very serious. And he was going to get the money. He was going to get his stuff. His family, his wife, and all, they were very happy in Milan. Great city for him, and so on. And it's that Champions League carrot that they don't have, that they,
it's a killer,
they can't, they can't offer it. They can't, right? And that's the problem. So that's the
problem. Well, you know what? The big teams should power through it just like Man United did last season. They powered through it. They still got NLB Arena.
That's
different. They still
that's
got
Man United. You can, Man United's brand compared to AC Milan's brand,
obviously,
still, right?
Yeah.
Again, but if we're talking 5 years ago, hey, it's pretty close. Well, it's not pretty close. It's
Milan with a cash injection, you know, should be looking at being back in the top four next season. There shouldn't be any question about that.
Right.
You know, so it should be a 1 year hiatus. The problem is for Zlatan, does he have 1 year now?
Exactly. You know? Yeah, you know, on the wrong side of 30, and so on. But like we said, this guy, we all know he marches the beat of his own drum, and he will do the craziest things on and off the field. Yep. That's what makes him, for me, one of the most exciting people in football, not only because of what he does on the field, but every time he speaks, I'm listening. He's pretty he's entertaining.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, guys, we have 3 minutes left.
Oh, goodness.
So we can do this again next week and continue.
I mean, maybe for the last few minutes here, just throw out some names and we can just, you know, do little tidbits on some of the ones that are already finalized. Memphis Depay, the Man United.
That's a great signing.
Pick up for sure.
Speedy, skillful, right. Winger.
Yep.
Di Maria on one side, Depay on the other. I think you have Premier League's going to be very interesting next season. I can tell you that right now.
100% is. I think it's going to be about whose teams. Well, I don't think really for Arsenal that there are too many additions that we're going to make that are going to be central. I think we're just mostly going to be the same team. I think that's what's going to give Arsenal the advantage, as well as Chelsea, out of the gate. You know, not too many changes coming to the core of the squad.
Well,
right?
they say Falcao might be heading to Chelsea as well, right?
That's right. Yeah,
more firepower up front, and I think that he's going to have a really huge comeback year. I mean, you saw with, for instance, Theo Walcott. He only really started to come around towards the end of this season, you know, and that's 2 years removed from the ACL. And I think that, you know, Falcao, with a little bit of confidence as well, you know, sort of an injection of confidence, he's going to be that guy for next season. And he's got plenty to prove in the PL.
Sure does.
In his time, he'll get back. And he's not the player we saw last year, right?
So no, I think exactly.
He's got more to give, to say the least.
Well, him running off Hazard and Fabregas make for a very interesting combination as well.
Yeah, I mean, How many goals can you miss?
Yeah,
you
know, it's true.
We put it on a platter for you.
It's true.
So.
It's true. If Florek Remy can score goals, I think Falcao should be fine.
Exactly.
So, do we have Di Maria going anywhere?
Do you? I guys, I don't think so.
Di
Maria is going to sit, fight for his place, and you know, and I mean, ultimately, everyone knows it takes a little while to adjust.
It
you know,
does.
If he maybe had a conversation or two with Mesut Ozil, you know, he'd be able to tell him, "Hey, not all peaches and cream when you sit down on this little piece of land here." Okay, they play the game and call the game way differently,
right?
You know?
For sure. And Louis van Gaal is not an easy guy to get used to.
Also, that
you know, it's well chronicled that his style is he will break you down, and hammer you, and see, can you react, and will you build yourself back up? And that's why Falcao, they're saying, didn't work at all, is because obviously he's coming back, like you said, I said about his injuries and the timing, and Van Gaal doesn't care. He still uses that as a tool to say he breaks people down to see their lowest level and see can they build themselves up.
And Van Persie too.
Yeah, he does. Exactly. He does not pick and choose who he does it to, you know. to a man, that's his style.
Yeah, no, across the board.
Yeah, so, you know, let's see. If this is Di Maria. This is, you know, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, we're talking about, you know, one of the most dynamic players in the game.
Well, I think he missed a lot of opportunities to play him deep and use a lot of his pace and sort of more of his box skills, some of the stuff that he showed for Argentina in the World Cup,
right,
where he looked fantastic.
I mean, for God's sakes, you talk about if confidence isn't something. Look at Ashley Young was playing ahead of him, and it was like the opposite. Like, Ashley Young was demeaning.
What I will say about Ashley Young is he had an incredibly resurgent season. He was awesome.
Especially how he started.
That's right. Yeah, no, he was unbelievable. And United fans, you know, that was the one guy that they really wanted to see out the door more than anybody else.
That's
and
true.
They made them all eat their words.
That's true.
And an English kid at that, and hopefully he'll find his way, you know, into the England squad or back into the England squad again. I think he should.
Yeah, he did enough to warrant at least another opportunity.
That's right. If you at least impress Van Gaal, especially being, you know, a British player, but not being somebody from the system of the club, so there's really no, you know, reason to be loyal to you. He's still there, you know, looking at a new deal. Good for him. So,
the only thing, and so I guess it's not really a transfer, but like, well, I don't call it a transfer when you go to MLS. I call it a vacation. But more and more players. Yeah, there you go. More and more players coming earlier and really
adding. Pirlo, Ronaldinho, rumored as well. I watch it and I feel like the quality of the game is just only going up, and these things continue to help. I mean, if you look at a guy like a Jovinko, who to me is probably the best player in the league.
He's the best. He's the best player in the league, hands down.
In his prime.
Hands down.
And the league's only getting better. Yeah, we're gonna probably see players, you know, coming earlier for sure.
Right. I mean, the time is coming.
Yeah.
You know, there's always gonna be a first. You know, just like the first kid to go abroad and play high, you know, and play basketball for a year before going to
high school.
The draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, you know, and we talk about these cities in North America. Like, it still is North America, and the allure is still of a better place here. Even though I get it, like, you know, in the year 2015, and places are pretty, you know, advanced worldwide, but there's still the allure of coming to play in a New York City, right?
Right.
There's still the allure of coming to play in Chicago, in LA, and Toronto, right? These,
that's
you know,
right,
people want to be here.
And on top of that, there's the allure of Spain, right?
Absolutely.
It's like they say, what do they say? They used to always say, every rapper wants to be a baller, and every baller wants to be a rapper.
Yeah. Right?
And I think it's funny the sound that they make when they sign their contracts here. It goes, cha-ching.
Right.
They're making a lot of dough. Lots of dough.
Right. They're making a lot of dough.
Jovinko got broke off, man.
Oh, yeah.
He would have gotten for any club in Europe.
For sure.
And we've talked about that a ton of times. That's been absolutely.
He's not making $7 million a year anywhere near Italy.
Right? He ain't getting
exactly.
Yeah, he ain't going to go to a big club if he was here, you know, if he was, you know, in Europe.
One of the top scorers in Champions League just got snatched up, what's his name, Adriano, right? From Shakhtar Donetsk.
He got
picked up nine goals in Champions League. He got picked up by Al Ahly in
Qatar?
In the Middle East. The money, just like if that's where Xavi is ending up.
Yeah.
Money. And Douglas Costa got picked up by Bayern Munich. I mean, you know, just... He's the same caliber of player, you know, but he went for the money, you know, and that the Arab League that they have out there is supposed to be really good too, you know. The quality is continuing to rise. And as long as you get the players and as long as the coaching is there and the fundamentals are there, and the thing that the MLS did, not just across, you know, the border in the States, but is now doing here as well, now that it's installing an infrastructure now.
Well, it's all about
way of doing things.
Academies and stuff like that as well, right?
And there's a focus, right? There's an
ethos
to the way that they play, right? Then that's the way things are coached down the line.
Yeah, just really, we joked early about marketing and so on. Well, look what they've done, Rivalry Week, right? You know, making it for the North American, I would say American audience for sure, but that's the one that counts because that's the biggest number, right?
Right.
And this week has been Rivalry Week. And they've coupled that, you know, like they would do it for college basketball and so on, right? And you turn on an MLS game, and it looks legitimate now. It looks a major American sport that looks the part. It's got the sponsors. It's got everything. It's all tidy.
Right. You don't have to use the word derby Okay,
Okay,
it's the same thing, you know.
Yeah, most people in North America wouldn't know what that was anyway.
Exactly.
So
that's why they get it, right? To me, it's about getting it, right? I mean, they do, like, they understand. Just from a little thing like when they changed the MLS logo, I thought, oh man, this is now. I don't even remember the old one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the MLS is doing a thing, like, they're an amazing story just to analyze them in terms of a sports marketing thing, right?
That's right.
And how their rise has been steady, and it's a profitable league. Amazing.
Because it's a growth model, and nobody's getting greedy. That's what
Bingo.
It is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? It's a growth model, and they just never overstepped or overreached their boundaries. Okay?
Interesting to see.
They realized that David Beckham was their big fish, that they were going to ride for a while, and they put all their money into it. And then since then, it's just been calculated moves here and there. Give this market a boost when it needs it. This market over here is suffering. Boom, bam. You know what I mean?
Right.
Interesting to see, guys, what will happen, because now they're all happy with getting a little bit of piece of the pie. But it's interesting to see when you got this rise of something like New York City FC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see Toronto continue. You know, these markets that are big, and they're saying, hey, we're carrying everybody else here. Who knows, right? So for now, I think it's all good. But, you know, interesting to keep an eye on over the next few years as more big players come and teams becoming more viable. Or are we going to see some of those little smaller markets, you know, the same kind of thing happen in other sports? So interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Well, they're always expanding. There's another team coming in from Atlanta.
Right.
I think a couple of years or next year, a couple of years, they just named them. They're going to be Atlanta United FC, so
right.
always expanding. So
and
something
soon too is another thing. So
yeah.
Looking.
It should be expanding again to Canada somewhere. I don't know where. Maybe Calgary or.
I tell you one thing. I know where certain players ain't gonna want to go.
My yeah, that's right.
Well, guys, thanks a lot for joining me, Joe. You're usually here every week. Edson, thank you for taking the time and coming out to talk to us.
As always.
We missed so many names that we're probably going to have to do a part two. And like I said last week with Joe, every day there's another rumor. There's another signing. There's another thing.
The window's not even open yet.
Exactly.
It's like really, you know.
Yeah. So by next week, we could probably miss another 100 names. You know what I mean? We could keep doing this until the season starts. But, you know, we're going to keep it to pretty much the big names and what we hear. And hopefully some signings can get done and some confirmations, because I want to see Cech holding up his goalie jersey. Finally.
Maybe wait till the end of Copa America and stuff like that.
That's true, too. Read an article today that Sanchez was trying to talk up Vidal to come to Arsenal, so we'll keep an eye on that.
We'd have to make some room.
That would be, like, for me, he's the modern, like, a perfect modern midfielder that would absolutely fit Arsenal, because he could still play that style they like, but still give you a main streak.
Yeah. Who do you get rid of, though?
I'll tell you one thing right now. He ain't better than Aaron Ramsey. Okay, so we ain't desperate for any Sanchez or any Vidal. I should say.
You know what?
So.
Though I think for sure with the attacking balance, but Vidal brings more than the attack. I mean, we'll talk about him more next week. But he gives him more than the attack. You know, I think he would give him. Arsenal's always going to attack. You guys have got all the talent in the world with that. But on that, you know, it's funny.
I'd rather play Ramsey, or I'd rather play Cazorla in that deep complementary midfield, or I'd rather play Jack Wilshere in that deep complementary midfield.
You know, Edson, but you know,
we got those guys already.
But you know, Edson, you know, it's you're battling on many fronts, and you need more than just one or two. You need reinforcement. And
yeah,
maybe on one day it's Cazorla, the next day it's someone else. I think
Chamberlain can play there. I mean, you know, I don't want to talk up our midfield so much. I'm just saying.
I think he's better as a wide player.
Ooh, you're gonna learn. You're gonna learn.
You're gonna learn.
I love it.
I'll leave it this for you guys, Arsenal fans. This is what I think. If you are going to win these titles, instead of just be happy to be, you know, take the girl to the dance kind of deal, then you got to be deeper. You have to be. You got to be deep. Like, you have to have more than just one guy in a spot. You need two or three guys.
Checking two more in, and we're good to go.
That's what I say.
You're battling more in and replace anybody else who goes. We're good to go.
A D mid, maybe a left back.
We need a striker.
If the money's there, I promise you, and the deal is right, they will get Vidal in a heartbeat.
I feel like one would have to go at that point. Maybe we could, you know, sell Rozicki, even though we just
signed him for a year.
They already said that Arteta's not going to go. I mean, I could name you some midfielders that I would like to see replaced.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
They've already said a couple of them aren't going to go anywhere. And so, you know, for me, if they're not...
Put it this way. If Sanchez comes to them and he's part of it and you want to keep him happy, you know, that's not a bad deal for me.
I'll take Vidal, but we need to have room for him. Chelsea signed him yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
That's true.
And that's the only thing that I like. That we go back to the Czech thing that was, you know, when we said it was a bad thing how they treated him and so on, for sure. But the good thing about it is, Mourinho doesn't care about making friends. He's gonna do what he thinks will do to make him win.
Yep. Well, he's made some mistakes already. I know he wants that Kevin De Bruyne mistake back.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
You imagine?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll leave it at this for the Gunners fans. For me, I've defended Arsene Wenger, but now, no problem. Now this year, he's got to show me his teeth.
Yeah, he's on the clock.
Exactly.
No problem. No problem.
Well, with that, we're going to have to end the show. We're right up against the time, so... Edson, again, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Edson.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Joe, it's been a pleasure as usual. People out there, go to the website, join the forum, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Revamped website, by the way. Go check it out. And as usual, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.